Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. Seth Harwood is here today. Seth, as always, is a welcome surprise. Seth's newest book, Everyone Pays, and as Seth says it,
Everyone Pays.
Seth Harwood's newest book, Everyone Pays, is a fun, fast-paced crime noir page-turner, and Seth admits to the good news for listeners of the Not Old Better Show that this book is a true thriller. So, cover the ears of youngsters as it's NSFMV, not safe for minivans.
Early on in the book, there's a couple of gory scenes where the detective Clara Donner is going to a crime scene and seeing some of what really goes on there in the wake of this killer.
Seth Harwood received an MFA in fiction from the Iowa Writers Workshop and went on to build a large readership for his first novel, Jack Wakes Up, by serializing it as a free audiobook online. Harwood's novels and stories have been downloaded over 1 million times, and Seth actively engages in online and offline promotion of his writing because the publishing industry has changed so much. And Seth today confirms a new secret project.
My secret project has come out.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that's great about working with Thomas and Mercer, I mean, you were asking me earlier about the publishing industry and how much it's changed. And back when I was doing the podcast, you know, that was sort of the forefront of one technology, and it felt like sort of the cutting edge. Now, you know, things have changed so much even more. And I'm looking at my publisher, and they, you know, they really have a sense about how to sell copies of books, and they all, you know, they refer to it sometimes as units, and so they can change the pricing of a book or change. And as an author, what's wonderful through that is really getting the opportunity to put my work out to a really wide audience.
Seth is the author of 4 additional novels, including Everyone Pays, and he teaches creative writing and English classes at City College of San Francisco, Stanford Continuing Studies, and Harvard Extension. Other jobs throughout the years for Seth have included commodities floor trading clerk, bartender, copy editor, rare book cataloger, high school English teacher, basketball coach, and freelance journalist. With all this as background, Seth offers his usual super deep research into police procedures with the San Francisco Police Department.
I'm really talking to police officers. I've done a significant amount of ride-alongs and work with some police officers in the East Bay, actually. But more recently, I've really connected with a few great officers in the San Francisco Police Department.
Seth Harwood currently lives in Western Massachusetts and is at work on a second Clara Donner novel. And it will touch on Seth's San Francisco experience and tell a story with elements of child homelessness and other social issues.
Homelessness and what's going on with the homeless in San Francisco, as that's becoming an increasing issue. And also, you know, thinking about what it's like to be a police officer in a world where people are starting to be afraid of police officers.
Please join me today in welcoming Seth Harwood and What an Unexpected Pleasure It Is to the Not Old Better Show.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Podcast. It's time for this week's featured guest on the Not Old Better Podcast. And now your host, Paul Vogelzang.
Well, Seth Harwood, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. I just have to tell you, I have been a fan of your writing for a while. I know that you're a podcaster, so I got to tell you, I'm a fan of that too. You also have an MFA from the Iowa Writers Workshop. Your new book really has caught my attention. I think my audience is going to love it. The title is Everyone Pays. But I wonder, Seth, if you could just give us, because you have such a nice way of kind of announcing the title, Everyone Pays. I've listened to a couple of your interviews, and you just say it really well. So maybe if you could just say it for my audience, that would be great.
Title of the book is Everyone Pays.
And everyone does pay, absolutely. So let's go back for just a second, Seth, because you really started your writing, as I say, you know, I mean, you are very much an official writer, Iowa Writer Workshop, all of those kind of things, but you started in a more kind of non-traditional way. And I always like to ask every artist that I speak to, every author, every creative person, you know, how is the business? You know, I mean, it's just changed so much for everybody. The world of MP3s is very different than, you know, kind of ink on paper. And so you started really kind of in this world of patio books, and you really are almost famous for kind of making this statement, you know, how I sold my book by giving it away. So what led to all that?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few years back, around 2009, there was coverage in the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Boston Globe. You know, some guys in San Francisco, Scott Sigler and myself, were putting out podcasts and basically giving away our books as free. You know, they were podcast novels. And another way to explain it was to call it free serialized audiobooks. But if your listeners know what a podcast is, then, you know, basically we were putting out an episode a week, basically about a half an hour, two or three chapters per week, with some talking and sort of updates at the beginning and the end. And, you know, going through a whole book that way, probably in about 15 to 20 episodes that we would put out over a manner of months. And I did that for about four books, actually, four novels and two collections of short stories. And if your listeners know patiobooks.com, all of the stuff is still there and on my website at sethharwood.com. But, you know, even before that, I've gone through all these different tech ways of getting my work out there. And the real way that I started was in sending my short stories out to these literary journals at universities and around the country that probably have smaller readerships than your podcast and accept a tiny fraction of the stuff that's submitted to them. And so I did that for a while. And then I started submitting short stories to online journals, which I noticed would get an uptick in, you know, people seeing the story because it was free and it was easy to access. And then from there, I made the leap to going to audio. You know, I was a guy, before I went to Iowa, I was teaching high school, and I would listen to books on CD in the car during my commute. And so I just felt like, you know, this is the perfect way that I can get my books to people. I know we don't all have all the time in the world to sit and read, but if I can record these and make them free as audiobooks to people, that seems like a great way to get it out there.
You know, I enjoyed the reading part of it. I really found the book, again, the title of the book is Everyone Pays. I just found it hard to put down. I own the digital version. I've listened to you read, and I think you've got a really nice voice. There just is something about kind of having it in hand, making that, you know, kind of process of turning the page, although some of that's even done with the technology. But this is a book that I thought funny. I thought action-packed. It's a thriller. I think my audience is going to absolutely love it. Read it. I've bought it. Please go out and do it. It's one of those books that are hard to put down. There's a certain noir quality to it, absolutely. I've heard you say, too, that this is not necessarily one of your books that's safe for minivans. So tell us a little bit why. It's got a little gore to it.
It's got some gore. You know, the funny thing for me, honestly, was this is the first book of mine that's been professionally recorded with real, you know, voice actors and stuff. When I was doing the podcast, I did all the voices, and basically I was having fun with it, and they sounded kind of funny. And that was a lot of fun. But now to have this available on Audible and with professional actors, this was the first time that I've been able to listen to my own book read by someone else. And as I was listening to it in the car, you know, first of all, I used to just say on all my podcasts, this is not safe for your minivans. So put the earmuffs on your kids. And I thought it was kind of a joke. But now that I have a 3-year-old, I see how that works. But yeah, so I was listening to it in the professional recording in the car, and I realized like some of this stuff is really in your face. Early on in the book, there's a couple of gory scenes where the detective Clara Donner is going to a crime scene and seeing some of what really goes on there in the wake of this killer. And so for me to hear that read by someone else really struck me for the first time as like, wow, as a reader, this is dark. But then, you know, when you watch television and things like SVU or CSI, you know, those things are going to the same places and showing the same things on television that as a writer sometimes, you know, I think are dark for readers. So I think a lot of this stuff is already out there in the public space. And if you're used to watching shows like that, you're certainly used to seeing these things. But for me, yeah, I mean, some of it is dark early on when they're going to some early crime scenes. And then as the story opens up, it winds up being much more about the characters and sort of the hunt of the investigation rather than the carnage.
Yeah, I enjoyed Clara. I thought she was great. Again, I think she is kind of a San Francisco Deniz, and you write very much from a San Francisco perspective. And for my listeners in that kind of Northern California area, you'll appreciate the references to Potrero Hill and North Beach and Rice-A-Roni and kind of the tenderloin. I thought, though, that Clara really, there was a part about her that had this very strong connection procedurally to detective work. Talk a little bit about the research that you do around this, because that was very real. I noticed that, you know, I just got very caught up in kind of those procedural details, and it seemed very accurate. How are you doing some of that research?
I'm really talking to police officers. I've done a significant amount of ride-alongs and work with some police officers in the East Bay, actually. But more recently, I've really connected with a few great officers in the San Francisco Police Department. One woman who used to be the head of homicide and one woman who's on patrol now, not out of the Tenderloin District, but out of a different one. And yeah, you know, finding out what it's like from them, going back and forth on email with a lot of questions. I have a friend here in Massachusetts who's the assistant district attorney, and he was really coming up and saying, well, some of these things, they would have to get a warrant for this or that, or this thing they might not be able to do. So some of the legal stuff I sort of left out, but the feeling of like the police officer on the ground is something that I've really gotten interested in. And one of the things about Clara Donner is that she has this sense for seedy underbelly is a cliche, but there is a real seedy underbelly of San Francisco that involves what's going on in the sex trade and what people are willing to do for money. And she's aware of that. She's worked in Vice and she's seen that. And for my part, you know, as I lived in the city for longer and longer, the more of that I got to see. In the last few years, I've been living in the Mission and just walking around and having that stuff in your face sometimes, it really clued me into a part of San Francisco that I wasn't aware of when I was writing the Jack Palms books, which were some of my earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit disturbing to see that stuff, but I feel like this is a part of the city that we have to confront. I'm writing a new Clara Donner book now, and she's really looking at homelessness and what's going on with the homeless in San Francisco as that's becoming an increasing issue. And also, you know, thinking about what it's like to be a police officer in a world where people are starting to be afraid of police officers.
Mm-hmm. So will this new book that you mentioned, is this going to be a sequel that Everyone Pays?
Basically, I envision it as a Clara Donner series.
Okay.
And Everyone Pays is the first one, and I'm working on the second one now.
Are you finding that you have a, because it's interesting for me, I like to look at some of the metrics behind, you know, the listenership of, you know, my podcast. And so there's kind of a gender skew. Are you finding with some of these series that you're doing that there is kind of a more heavy women, you know, readership?
I think so, yeah. I mean, particularly as I'm working with Thomas and Mercer as my publisher, which is a part of Amazon. I mean, you know, their main platform is selling through the Kindle, you know, ebooks. And we could spend time talking about the pleasure of reading a book on paper, the quote unquote dead tree version, or reading on a Kindle or a Nook or whatever. You know, I read both. I really love the paper book, and there's certain things that I just want to read electronically. And then there's other things that I want to listen to in the car or listen to while I'm on a walk or doing my exercise or whatever. And so, yeah, I mean, working with Thomas and Mercer, they're very in tune to what their Kindle reader audience wants, and they're really looking at those metrics, and it is women a lot. And so, you know, thinking about that as an author, it's something that I've been considering for a while. And in my last two books, I have used a female main character, a female lead investigator as the main character.
Jess Harding, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Jess Harding in Broad Daylight is an FBI agent in Alaska. And yeah, in this one, Clara Donner is a San Francisco homicide investigator.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I got to tell you, I kind of like all of the platforms too. You know, what I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to catching up to you so that I can have you sign a book. I like that part of it too, you know, but I definitely enjoy the convenience of the audiobook and having it on my tablet device. And so I think it's nice in all of those places. And I think it's a real sign of, I think, this need for authors to kind of reach out in lots of different ways. And you're among the best at that. I really enjoyed Clara Donner. And I have to ask you this too. You seem kind of like a fitness guy, and Clara certainly is a fitness. She loves basketball, and I wonder, do you think Clara is a fan of Steph Curry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Clara loves Steph Curry. She's from New York City originally.
Yeah.
And she is not a fan of the Knicks. There's a line in there about Carmelo Anthony's shot-chucking ball hoggery. But, yeah, I mean, she's a big fan. Actually, Everyone Pays takes place before the Warriors won the championship last year. And for depending on when this comes out, they might have a second one already. Mm-hmm. But, yes, the book takes place in early winter, early spring of 2014, and that's before the Warriors had won, but she certainly sort of got an eye towards them. And she played basketball in college and then had injuries. And so there are scenes in the book now where she's playing basketball pickup and sort of getting a way to work out the difficult parts of the job by doing that stuff. And that's another thing that comes from research. I ended up with a research assistant through one of my teaching positions. This one was actually through Harvard Extension. And this woman volunteered to be my research assistant, who wound up being Division II college basketball player, worked for Homeland Security, and now was getting a degree through Harvard Extension. And she was just an amazing resource. Originally, I brought her on to give me some of the religious background that I needed for the Father Michael character. And then she just wound up being a wealth of knowledge for, what it's like to play basketball as a woman. And some of the Homeland Security stuff has been really interesting to hear about from her as well.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about because just as the procedural work around the cop stuff was really accurate, I thought the religious stuff was really accurate too. There's a real, it's kind of an interesting almost observation to make about, kind of religion today and, maybe what's kind of happening out there. But certainly there was more than just a nod to some of the stuff that's going on in our world from a religious standpoint.
One of the main characters is a father in a Franciscan chapel down in the Tenderloin. And having visited that spot, I was surprised. I mean, I just started visiting the Tenderloin to see what was going on. And it is bleak down there, but to find a church in the middle of that, and this is a church that allows homeless people to sleep in the pews during the day so they can get off the streets, and that has a smell that comes with it. And this is just an embattled neighborhood in San Francisco, and there's a church in the middle of it, several actually. Glide is down there as well, which gives out a really wonderful meals program. But for this one, St. Boniface, just seeing what that church was like and seeing, the confessional and what some of the priests down there are like, the kind of things that they go through in terms of liaisoning with their environment, it's just incredible to imagine. So, yeah, I mean, getting my head into that, showing a lot of different beta readers who have more religious experience than I do, sort of some of the scenes that involve Father Michael. And, a lot of showing people what I'm writing and then getting feedback on it was a lot of my research method.
Yeah, it's excellent. So tell us then a little bit about Jack Palms. We can look for Maltese Jordans. Is that right? That's coming.
You are on top of the feed.
Oh, I'm trying. I got to keep up with you, Seth. You are moving.
My secret project has come out.
Okay.
One of the things that's great about working with Thomas and Mercer, you were asking me earlier about the publishing industry and how much it's changed. And back when I was doing the podcast, that was sort of the forefront of one technology, and it felt like sort of the cutting edge. Now, things have changed so much even more. And I'm looking at my publisher, and they really have a sense about how to sell copies of books. And they refer to it sometimes as units. And so they can change the pricing of a book or change. And as an author, what's wonderful through that is really getting the opportunity to put my work out to a really wide audience. My first book was published, Jack Wakes Up, was published in 2009 by Random House, a division of Random House called Three Rivers Press, and it was in every Barnes & Noble across the country. And so seeing what that publishing experience was like, and now to have In Broad Daylight come out in 2013 and literally sell basically 8 times as much as the Random House release did, just through the features of what Amazon is doing, changing the price, doing Kindle Daily Deal and other special promotions on their site, a lot of ebooks going out. And it's easy to buy ebooks. You can do them with a click of a button, and you don't have to find a place for them in your house, and they don't pile up and need to be dusted. It's just easier. And so for me, as an author, I love being able to get my work out to many more people and have people reading my stuff and reviewing it online and finding me. But I also love those paper copies. And so Jack Wakes Up is not really something that fits in with the Thomas and Mercer stable. The Jack Palm series is something else that I've done. Thomas and Mercer did a re-release on the second Jack Palm's book, which is called This Is Life, which is another San Francisco noir thriller. And then, you know, I have this project that combines the Jack Palm series, which is something that I love, and sneaker collecting, which is another thing that I've always loved, but have only very recently allowed myself sort of the freedom to explore and kind of admit to. I always used to like really like keep it down. Like I could only have like 3 pairs of sneakers and I would never buy more, and something that I would sort of look at and kind of envy. Yeah. And so now, you know, with all of these Air Jordan sneakers from my youth, from the 80s and 90s, coming back and being re-released regularly, I can have the sneakers now that I coveted in high school. And so I'm doing that. I'm getting them. And so this basically came out of the research for this latest Jack Palm's one, where Jack Palm's, who's character of my first few books, winds up being kind of a bounty hunter and chasing this guy who has embezzled a bunch of money from an accounting firm in San Francisco and run off to Hawaii with it. So Jack chases him to Hawaii to find out that this guy has this mythic pair of Air Jordan sneakers that was worn once by Michael Jordan in a totally clandestine pickup game in Malta that was put on by the King of Malta. Wow. And so these wind up being referred to as the Maltese Jordans. And Jack Palm's is chasing after them. And so that's another book project that I'm working on. And I'm kind of juggling the two, like the Clara Donner sequel and the Maltese Jordans are both something that I'm dying to work on this summer. And, you know, that's another part of the publishing industry. You know, there's a lot of authors out there who are publishing books with smaller publishers that will get a lot of paper copies out there. And there's an audience for those, which is different than the Kindle audience. And so, you know, partly through my own tastes and partly through just sort of looking at the way the publishing world is now, it turns out that I'm diversifying.
And we're grateful for it. I think this is a time that we can all really connect with authors. We can really connect with musicians. I think it really matters. You're doing a fair bit of teaching still, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's scaled back. I've been teaching for a long time through City College of San Francisco and through Stanford Continuing Studies. I've been doing online and on-ground creative writing classes for them. And at this point, I'm scaling that back to just doing online for Stanford and for Harvard Extension. So those are both great programs to be working with. I'm teaching a lot of really smart and interesting adult learners who have great stories to tell and a real interest and drive for their creative writing. So I'm doing those things and writing and working with my family to raise a small child.
Are you finding that the students, some of whom I do understand are adults, but are you finding that they've got a natural kind of direction and predisposition to working kind of more in a social environment with publishing and doing a little bit more of the podcasting stuff, doing a little bit more of the social outreach that you've really done so well?
No, sorry. Not so much. It still feels like, I mean, I've taught classes where I talk about the podcasting and things, and I was thinking about it this morning, and it's still only a small fraction of the people who are interested in taking this approach and are interested in learning about it and do learn about it, who actually go ahead and put out the content. I mean, it takes a long time to make good audio content, I'm sure you know. And, you know, when you get caught up in life and the things that come with raising a family, having kids and all of these things, you know, the podcast can be hard to get to. But earlier when I was single and really working hard on writing and podcasting, I was able to basically put out books and podcasts each year. And I look at that now and I think, wow, that was great. Now I'm just struggling to sort of update my blog posts and have my email list go out. But that's what I'm doing. And really, you know, honestly, focusing on the writing and really getting back to putting the words down and really trying to make the words on the page as visual as I can. That's one of the things that I really work on in my teaching, is showing my students the importance of making your writing visual and really trying to connect with readers in a way that the story develops on the page in the reader's mind. So it's kind of like you're seeing a movie in your mind as you're reading the book and co-creating it. I really try to make my scenes visual. I think that worked really well for me in the podcast and in the audio, but it's something that I think is really important to bring to the page. So I work on that with my students, and in my own writing, you know, that's really my focus, is to show people what Clara Donner is going through, show her playing basketball on her off hours, show her chasing these criminals and going to these crime scenes. And one of the really rewarding parts about that was to have this guy that I'm friends with, who's the assistant district attorney, really realize, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I see in my job, when he had to go to crime scenes as part of the public defender's office or the prosecutor's office in Boston. He was really saying, you know, I would see these kind of crime scenes and I couldn't talk to anyone about them. So it's really great to see you showing this and talking about this in your fiction.
That's really great. Nice to have those kinds of supporting people out there that are going to just give you, you know, kind of their own insight as to why this is such a great book. And it is a great book. The dialogue is very clever. As I say, it's funny, but it is action-packed. It's a thriller. We're going to link to your site, to SethHarwood.com. Seth, where else do you want people to kind of find you online? Because you are very visible and very active online too. So where else can people locate you?
Well, you and I connected on LinkedIn, which is fine. I find myself posting a lot of stuff on Facebook the most. Facebook and Twitter, both of them, I'm Seth Harwood. I have a Facebook page, which seems to have its own, a mind of its own in terms of how the algorithms work and who gets to see that. So mostly I'm on Facebook as myself. I've sort of blended my Facebook profile with my professional profile. And, you know, you might see some extra basketball posts in there or pictures of my daughter. But, you know, a lot of my stuff from my books go there. But basically, you know, I'm focusing everything right now to my website, SethHarwood.com. I've redone the website in the last six months. We have set up a new RSS feed and all new content there. So if you go there now, you'll see a video of me reading from the book in New York City. There's audio of me reading from different sections of the book. And then today I'm posting up a new video of a Q&A session from that reading in New York, where the video is there, but you also have the chance to just listen to the audio or stream the audio. You know, you're talking up this app thing, so I might have to get an app soon so that people can stream my audio there. My goal is basically to get all of my content on my website, you know, as video or text, but also as audio, so that people can just stream it on the go and listen to what's going on with me, what's coming out, what's happening with the new work. The book is on Amazon, and there's all kinds of links on my site to where you can find the book and where you can find my other books, information about the other books. And if your listeners want to listen to the free podcasts of the older stuff, all of that is linked from my site, and it's all available at podiobooks.com, which has a lot of great authors putting out free podcast audiobooks, basically, that people can listen to and really check out and get to know some new authors there. I'm also trying to drive people to my email list, which people can sign up for at SethHarwood.com/join.
We will put links to that too. And I just would encourage my listeners to read this book. Again, Everyone Pays. Enjoy.
Everyone Pays.
There you go. That's Seth. And I can't do it as well, Seth. And certainly your writing comes through as equally as loudly and clearly. And I just would encourage everybody to give this book a 5-star rating, because this generosity from an author is wonderful. And Seth, we just appreciate you being around, writing this great stuff about a wonderful city like San Francisco, but all the rest of the work that you're doing and writing. And we're going to look forward to it. Hopefully, Seth, we are going to have you back.
Love to be back. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate you taking the time and having me on, and all the great things that you've said. Thank you.
Of course. All, you know, with pure intention. So thank you very much, Seth. And we'll follow up.